Hello and welcome. This is Dove Speaks. You are listening to Voice of Ashland 101.9 KVSH. And Executive Director Betsy Archambault is off doing good in the world. And in her stead, we have two other folks from the Dove Project, Brianna Sherman and Kyle Britz. How are you guys doing?
Great.
Doing
nice
good
to be here.
Well, thank you for coming by on this rainy day. I think it's supposed to stop around October. Oh, my goodness. So, could you tell us your positions at Dove, please?
Yes, I am a community advocate with the Dove Project, and I also work with Vashon Safe, which is the bartender training program and the Vashon Safe Establishments Initiative.
And that is a sexual assault-free environment.
Yes, yes.
And that is a program that's been given for free to area places that serve alcohol or any place?
Any place. We mostly focus on places that serve alcohol. We are focused on preventing drug-facilitated sexual assault. Mm-hmm. So it's mostly where you would find alcohol readily available. That's been our experience so far.
I see. And when you say chemically assisted, that's what the layman would say, being roofied. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're sort of trying to step away from roofies being the most commonly known date rape drug, because in reality, alcohol is actually the most common drug used
sure.
to alter somebody's judgment when it comes to drug-facilitated sexual assault.
I see. And how long has this program been in action here on the island?
We started in late October, early November. So it's fairly new for the Dove Project. We're really excited about it. And it's just been, there's been like a lot of really great energy from the community, a lot of discussion, and it's just been a really, really awesome project to be working on. I really enjoy it.
And we have had issues with that. It's not like this is a solution looking for a problem. We have had issues with chemically assisted assault. Is that correct?
Yes. I think that because most people see Vashon as sort of this safe haven, sort of a bubble of safety that mm-hmm. we have, because we have such great community, it's really hard for a lot of people to wrap their minds around the fact that this does happen in our community. This happens with our neighbors and our friends and people we love. And I think that the community, for the most part, has been really, really positive and awesome in responding to this initiative. We've gotten a lot of really great feedback from
That's
the community.
That's great. And when you do this education, is it to the public or is it to the server or the owners or who's your audience?
So far, we have had two trainings, one with managers of restaurants, so administrative sort of trainings, and how you talk to your employees about drug-facilitated sexual assault, and just how to train your employees to recognize some of the signs of drug-facilitated sexual assault. And then our most recent one, we sat down with employees, so servers and bartenders, hostesses, and we had discussions with them about drug-facilitated sexual assault.
And that's really the people on the front line, I would imagine, that are they're,
absolutely
you know
yes.
seeing this or suspecting this. How long does it take? Like if I was an employer and I said, okay, how long should I set aside for my folks to learn this?
We generally leave aside 90 minutes.
Okay.
We have been doing it in about an hour just because the community is actually pretty well versed on this topic, which is really great. A lot of people have some background knowledge on this topic. So we didn't actually use the whole time slot. A lot of the time that we spent was actually just conversation mm-hmm. Rather than lecturing or anything like that. It was a mutual conversation, which was really beneficial, I feel.
And I imagine a lot of it is common sense, just knowing that it happens and what you're seeing is probably what is happening
mm-hmm.
and what to do from there.
Yeah, Absolutely. Being an active bystander is extremely important in these situations. And I think, again, a positive but also a barrier of this community is that it is very tight-knit and people know each other. You know the face of your server. You know most people in the community, and it's really hard to accept that this does happen in the community.
Sure.
So it can become sort of a touchy subject for some folks. But for the most part, we've had really, really great conversation with all of the servers and all of the administration that we have been working with so far. So that's been great.
Well, that's good to hear. And Kyle, tell us what you're doing here.
Well, I'm here also community advocate and a prevention specialist with Dove. And I focus working with prevention awareness with our teen council. And I'm a facilitator, co-facilitator with the teen council group and on the island here with the Dove Project. And we work with bringing more awareness to more of these issues as well, and supporting comprehensive and comfortable language so we can talk about these issues. People are coming into awareness to things that they don't know if they're normal or not normal. So we work with prevention through awareness and trying to provide resources and a comprehensive understanding to a lot of different aspects.
Hey, well, it seems to me like you work in the middle schools and the high schools, and Bree, you're working in the servers in the community. And I had Nin on the show a couple of weeks ago, and she's done the Green Dot.
Yes,
and that's kind of like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like the Dove Project is doing this kind of a spectrum of prevention that goes, it's almost the same message to different audiences of awareness and what to look for and what's normal and what to do about that. Is that correct? Is that a good assumption? Or
yeah, I think I've been working in community advocacy for about 9 years now. Mm-hmm. And I used to work in Olympia. And one thing that I really appreciate about Dove as an organization is that it has a holistic approach and a community-based approach to prevention. And it's just been really amazing working with these awesome advocates in this awesome community and seeing that there is a focus on all-inclusive prevention throughout the entire community, no matter your age or your gender or how you identify.
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really been inclusive and awesome to be working here.
Well, I think, too, that education is, making this available to the community is good. We hope they make themselves available to it. Because, especially for our young people, they're going to leave the island, and it's not going to be that insular society where everybody knows everybody. It's going to be big campuses, big cities, and you hope that they're prepared for, what comes. Hold that thought. I know you're going to say something. We got to thank some folks here, okay? Just one second. Let's cue this up and go.
Is sponsored by the Mostly True Vashon Tours. Based on the popular Mostly True History book series, these tours offer a lighthearted history of our islands and show you where historical events actually happened. Along the way, you experience all that Vashon has to offer in the way of local food, spirits, and recreation. For more information and tickets, visit VashonTours.com or the Hinge Gallery, located at the corner of Vashon Highway and 174th Street.
Support for Voice of Vashon comes from Airlift Northwest, providing life-saving air medical transport 24 hours a day in our community and throughout the region. For more information, visit uwmedicine.org/airlift-nw. That's uwmedicine.org/airlift-nw.
Here's some encouraging news for distressed families from the King County Housing Authority. That would be the lottery that KCHA holds every 2 to 4 years for the Housing Choice Voucher Program. Under this program, low-income family applicants who are among the approximately 3,500 households who win the lottery will be placed on the waiting list for a Housing Choice Voucher, which may be used in a rental on the island if they are able to find a unit that is rent reasonable and could pass a housing quality inspection. The subsidy enables the tenant to pay roughly 30% of the household income in rent, while the subsidy covers the difference. So here's how it works. To apply for the lottery, go to the KCHA website at kcha.org. That's kcha.org. Between 12:01 a.m. on Wednesday, April 5th, and Tuesday, April 18th at 4 p.m. After April 18th, a drawing will be held to determine random placement on the waiting list for the 3,500 lucky winners. I said random placement there. That means there's no advantage to rushing to apply on the first day. So even though it starts at 12:01 a.m., you don't have to stay up all night to wait for that moment to happen. It doesn't increase your chances at all. There's going to be a lottery here. One application per household will be accepted, and applicants must meet a variety of qualifications in order to be eligible. If you'd like to know what those qualifications are and get your questions answered, here is a website. I'll give it to you twice. kcha.org/housing/vouchers/questions. Got that? One more time. kcha.org/housing/vouchers/questions. Oh, and one last thing. There are bad people out there who know all about this lottery thing and will typically volunteer to assist you in the application process for a fee. The fee is the giveaway. If they mention a fee, hang up. This application process is totally free. Don't pay any agency who advertises guaranteed placement on the waiting list. Any outfit like that should be reported to the County Housing Authority Fraud Department at 206-214-1353. This has been a Voice of Vashon Public Service Announcement, Improved Living Conditions Department.
Okay, we're back here at Dove Speaks, and we have Brianna Sherman and Kyle Britz. And they're stepping in for Betsy Archambault. Where is Betsy? What's she doing?
She's at a coalition conference today with our group members over in King County.
Is that Dove Speak for vacation?
No. She's on the job.
Okay. No, I figured she was. So we've been discussing here about programs that Dove offers on safety, how to recognize maybe somebody's in a little bit of trouble or you're in trouble, reactions, what you should do, bystander training, all these wonderful things, the SAFE program, the teens and middle schools program. So what happens when someone has something awful or bad happen to them and they come to Dove? What's the process? What's the string of events after that?
Well, usually if we have either walk-ins, call-ins, emails, Facebook. So most of the time, people call before they show up. So we have a little bit of time to prepare. And if we get a call-in, we will schedule a time for them to come in. But oftentimes, we will get people who are in crisis and they just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And my process as an advocate is to just try and hold space for that person to try and figure out what the story is and what exactly is going on. Kyle and I just went to a advocate Q&A with the Northwest Network in Seattle. And something that we focused on there was getting, usually when you are talking to somebody, you're getting snapshots of a story. And as an advocate, we have to try and make a full movie out of those snapshots mm-hmm. and figure out exactly what's going on, all the intricacies of the story and that person's involvement. And so usually a lot of it is just listening and trying to assess what is going on for this person and what their barriers might be and what their demographic is, and trying best to assist them with all of those snapshots and trying to make a full story of it.
Hmm.
Because people are coming in with different needs. They have different issues in their personal relationship and their personal situation that they need assistance with. So sometimes it takes some time also just to decipher with them what it is that they need assistance with, if the situation has been going on for a while, if this is a one-time incident that it just occurred, or if it's been going on for a while, because relationships can be complicated and dynamic. And sometimes when people get to the point to coming in, it's because either something major has happened, or just a lot of little things have happened over time and they're uneasy or they've been encouraged to come in. So there's a process of helping within that holding space of like understanding what their issue is or what their goal is or their issues are around it.
Will you have a situation where it's like who gets the dove first, whichever side of the incident, so that they can come in, still tell their story first and paint the other person as being in the wrong? Does that happen? And you have to suss that out and say, the story's, I mean, you're not a police officer, but I mean, you're certainly an investigator of sorts to do that. Does that happen? Or?
Yes. It happens more often than a lot of people realize. We have situations where we have people who are in very unhealthy relationships and is mutually unhealthy. Mm-hmm. However, how we suss out who is considered a client and who is considered a perpetrator is it breaks down into power and control dynamics. So usually in a relationship, there's one person who has more power and control, and the other partner that is falling, that is being manipulated or abused because of that power and control, is usually the one we will assist. But there have been times where we've had people try and utilize our services in order to alienate their partner, mm-hmm. in order to sort of create almost like a smear campaign against their partner. And it's just another way that people use power and control in these relationships. And it can be really hard to suss out what exactly is going on because we get snapshots and we're trying to make a full story of it. Usually, like, sometimes it takes a few meetings with somebody to really figure out the dynamic of what's going on, because a perpetrator can come in and be in pain and describe a very unhealthy relationship, and then a few meetings in, you'll start to realize that this person has power and control issues within the relationship, and it's up to us to sort of figure out what exactly is going on and what the full story is.
Well, I think one of the things this highlights is when you think people, advocates for Dove, you don't realize how highly trained they are. You always think, well, these are very empathetic people that are doing a wonderful thing, but you don't understand, or at least certainly I didn't when I first got with the program, of how necessary it is to be educated and how much you go through, because these are such tricky situations with long-term impacts that you want to get right. Mm-hmm. So I'm impressed.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you're having, we as advocates are sometimes and most often the first people that our clients are telling this story to. And we, you know, we're the first people that acknowledge that they have been abused or that they are in an abusive relationship. A lot of people, you know, they think of the very, the situations where it's like horrific stories of physical abuse. Mm-hmm. And, most often what we see is, mental and emotional. And a lot of people take a while to come to terms with the fact that that is abuse. And, those are specifically focused on power and control dynamics. And so explaining power and control to clients is extremely important. And also just creating acceptance and space for those clients is sort of the first thing that we try and do during intakes. A lot of people are afraid they won't be believed. They're afraid of their families finding out. And we just have to really make sure that we are holding space for that client without interjecting our opinions, which can be hard because we grow really attached to our clients, and it's hard to give space and not give advice.
Sure.
Because that's not what we're here for. We're here to help people come to their own conclusions and take their power back and make their own decisions.
And you got to think that some of these people are just master manipulators in the they've fooled some of the best, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's got to be interesting day at work.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like to generalize, but a dynamic that I've seen very often in abusive relationships is people, abusers that are extremely well liked, extremely sort of enthusiastic in the community. They're usually really involved. People know their name and know their face, and it's really hard. That's a barrier that we have with a lot of clients, is that their abusers are extremely well liked mm-hmm. in the community, and they're afraid that the community will push back against them for coming forward. So it's extremely difficult for a lot of our clients.
Yeah. Now, is a lot of your communications anonymous? Are people just saying, hey, I don't want to give my name, but I hear some information went on maybe Facebook or an email or...
It does happen. It's mostly calls that remain anonymous, obviously. Because we're in such a small community, it's going to be hard for somebody to come into the office and for us not to recognize them.
Yeah.
But we work more with supporting people that are in need. So if it would be an anonymous person, I suppose the pretense would be they'd be calling to find and help someone else. So then the encouragement would then have that other person come in and talk with us and share their story and then sort out the help that they need, because it is really personal, and plans for supporting their individual needs are custom tailored. Some of them might be a little bit more dynamic, like navigating how they interact with other friends or their co-working environment, or even how they're going to manage their life. So it might be safety plans or like supporting an understanding of how they're going to manage their living situation or just maintain their general well-being. So if it's an anonymous call, generally it's to try to be like, I know someone who needs this. Yeah. And it could be either for themselves and they're trying to suss out the situation and get an idea if there is power and control, or they really are talking about their friend. And then we just try to encourage them to have their friend contact us, because it is a personal empowerment process.
Well, I'm sure, if someone's kind of been lorded over or beaten down over a relationship, getting the gumption up to pick up the phone is probably really hard. So having a friend pick up and say, I found out this information, this is what they can do for you, that would go a long ways into helping folks. Okay, hold on one second. We got to thank some more people here at 1223, you are listening to Dove Speaks on 101.9 KVSH, Voice of Vashon.
Support provided by Quartermaster Cottage, where the harbor view showcases each season from the front deck. The spacious interior is always bright, and the location offers access to island activities as well as relaxing walks on the beach. Open year-round at www.quartermastercottage.com.
We can't do what we do without our underwriters, like Vashon Theater, the island's one and only movie house since 1947, striving to have something for everyone. The Vashon Theater has expanded their offerings to include National Theater, Bolshoi Ballet, and Art and Architecture series. Information about all films at VashonTheater.com. Watch locally.
Okay, here's a rare chance to hear a future musical megastar before she becomes so big that we can't afford to bring her to the island. Shelby Earl is a singer-songwriter's name, and she will be coming to the K. White Hall at VCA on Saturday, April 22nd at 7:30 p.m. for a concert to celebrate the release of her new album, The Man Who Made Himself a Name. She's already made two CDs, which have received the kind of reviews that most artists kill for. So far, no blood has been spilled, but be advised, this is a chance that probably will never come around again on Vashon. Before you know it, you'll have to go down to the Gorge to hear Shelby Earl. To experience this supremely talented young artist will cost you $16 if you are a VCA member or a student, $18 if you're a senior citizen, and $20 if you are none of the above. Shelby Earl, K. White Hall, VCA, on Saturday, April 22nd, 7:30 in the evening. Tickets on sale at VCA, Heron's Nest Gallery, and at VashonCenterForTheArts.org. This has been a Voice of Vashon public service announcement, getting in on the ground floor department.
Thank you, Jeff. That was Jeff Hoyt, the voice of Vashon. And we're here at Dove Speaks. My name is Chris Austin. Normally to have Betsy Archambeau here, the executive director of Dove, but she's off doing other things, and I have Brianna Sherman here and Kyle Britz, and they are laughing at me. I stumbled over their names. You got bad handwriting, okay? No, I'm just kidding. Now, we've been discussing programs like the SAFE, the... I'm blocking the name.
Vashon Safe, Green Dot, and the Teen Council.
Right. Programs. What was the SAFE acronym? Sexual Assault Free Environment. Yes. There, yes. Sorry. Got it. So we've been talking about those programs, and we just have a few more minutes. So could we tell people where they can get this information? You know, websites, phone numbers, or how would they contact you?
Well, we have a hotline, and we also have an office line, and we have a website and a Facebook. So we are covered on all fronts. So in assessment, we often use something called a power and control wheel. And these resources are available to look at on our website. Kyle was just looking up exactly where we can find them.
Which is vashondevproject.org. And the title for it is resources. So we have a lot of PDFs available on there. And recognize they're spectrums. It's not a black and white situation. Every relationship is different. And colloquially, people have different aspects related to different items on the spectrum. A lot of relationships are really in the gray area. So it helps to look at these resources and then maybe give us a call or check in with us and just have a conversation about your relationship if that is something that you're considering, or for a friend or a family member or someone you know.
Mm-hmm. I also think just as a community member, it's extremely important to understand power and control dynamics so that you can recognize either relationships that are experiencing power and control, or maybe some things in your own relationship. And again, as Kyle was saying, it is a spectrum. It's not usually black and white. There's usually a lot of like muddiness, because when people are in trauma, they react in ways they normally wouldn't. And a lot of people would think that they were being abusive, and it oftentimes is the relationships are very unhealthy. But as I was saying before, it usually cracks down to like one person has more power and control mm-hmm. than another. And if anybody in the community would like to talk to us about this, we are more than happy to talk about power and control dynamics. I think it's just extremely important to educate our community on these issues.
Okay. So we got the VashonDoveProject.org. They can get information there. They can also go by your facility,
yes.
which is at the Courthouse Square.
Yes.
And what are the hours there?
We are open from 9 to 1.
Okay. And that's
Monday through Friday.
Monday through Friday. Yes. Okay.
Good. And then otherwise we can be contacted online or through our phone.
Yeah, and they can find the hotline or whatever there too. Is that right?
Yes.
206-462-0911.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you both for coming on and sharing with us. I mean, these are such valuable programs that the community, benefits from. And I want to thank you for your time and your input.
Yeah, so thank you so much for having us.
Okay, you betcha. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Dove Project, and we'll be here next week with Betsy back.